This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Before we're going to start, inshallah, can we just ask the brothers to sit to the front, inshallah, try to fill all the gaps from the front of the masjid. As I say, barakah is in front of the masjid. If you were to know what is the reward of it, you would have drawn lots to sit in the front row. So we ask the brothers to sit to the front, inshallah. And I would like to introduce our guest speaker for today, who doesn't need any introduction. It is our beloved Hazrat Mawlana Sheikh Sa'adullah. Please, tafadhal, Sheikh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا صدق الله العلي العظيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher and our Sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the prophets who came throughout history. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected ulama, huffaz, a'imma, elders, brothers and sisters, respected youth, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy, and the blessings of Allah be upon each and everyone present here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. When we look at our current leadership in South Africa, whether political leadership or religious leadership, we notice an unfortunate disconnect between leadership priorities and the real needs and concerns that affect the lives of people. This makes leadership somewhat irrelevant, except for the fact that political and religious leaders make critical and crucial decisions that impacts on the lives of the community and the society and the nation, and they wield power over what affects the lives of people. Religiously, there's often a self-righteous struggle for control. And this is reflected very often in a mutually exclusive monopoly of what is true Islam. If you follow the debates among the ulama circles sometimes, may Allah bless all of them, it's more about who's more correct and who are the ones who are deviant. And there's an internecine fight or struggle somewhat between those who try to preserve the faith and more so in relation to other ulama who may have different perspective, whether it be the mawlud or whatever issue it may be. It's always these secondary issues that take center stage. Rather than the real needs of people. People are starving. People are dying. People are being killed. We worried now, should we eat salami? Shouldn't we eat salami? Should we make taraweeh 8 rakats or 20 rakats? Who's Sunni? Who's Shi'i? Who's right? Who's wrong? We caught up with this all the time. And none of this is new. And none of it really relevant. None of it is new, by the way. It's all been discussed, argued, re-argued, and regurgitated. So it's an exclusive monopoly of what is true Islam, arguing about marginal matters and a tendency to over-focus on secondary issues, and the inability, it seems, to address relevant matters that are really challenging our community. And in addition to that, there's a seeming desire in some circles to attain or maintain positions of authority. Politically, we have many incompetent buffoons as leaders who tend to serve their own selfish self-interests. Leaders whose ineptitude and mediocrity is apparent, who use taxpayers' money to appease greedy elites and connections, and there's abundant evidence of corrupt leaders complicit with crooked cops and criminal elements in society who act with impunity, seemingly immune from prosecution, perpetuating a culture of unashamed criminality without a sense of accountability, neither any fear of arrest, nor retribution, nor punishment. Such leaders further fuel the culture of corruption, leading to an increased inequality in our society. And therefore, if you look at our youth, wanting to leave the country, eroding the safety, the security, the aspirations, and the hope of majority of the people of the land. We therefore witness an increase in fuel and food prices, but loss of jobs. We pay increased taxes, but have decrease in service deliveries. We witness an increase in unemployment, but no decrease in the money being stolen by these politicians. Our beloved city is turning more and more into a space for the homeless to set up unsavory shacks at most inappropriate places, from outside the airport to inside the heart of this most beautiful city in the world. The people blame the government blames apartheid, and we keep spinning in a circle of blame, and no one takes responsibility, and nothing significant ever gets accomplished. When we reflect on where we are, we realize how far we are slipping from the ideals for which people fought, whether religiously or politically. We fought for freedom, not for us to pay taxes to government whose officials are paid salaries to steal our money that we pay for service deliveries, and there's no accountability. You are forced to pay taxes, but you can't hold accountable those who are stealing the money that are meant for the people or benefit the people. And therefore, we need to relook at what freedom is. Freedom is not having a position of authority that allows you to do anything you want. And I want you to keep this in mind, because this is the underlying point that I want to make. Freedom is not having a position of authority that allows you to do anything you want, nor at all. Freedom is not the right to do as we please, but freedom is the opportunity to do what is right in the best possible manner. Because you have a choice to do whatever you want to do, and a person of faith, therefore, would take it as an opportunity to do what is best in the most appropriate manner. We will have the verdict of the inquest of the killing of Imam Harun on Monday in Cape Town High Court. Imam Harun was a religious and a political personality, and how few are there who are like him? Executive member of the Ulama Council, as well as a political activist who died 54 years ago this year. And we ask, is this what they gave their lives for? If you look at the current situation, the status quo, the way we find ourselves, is a betrayal of their heroic legacy and a smear on our noble heritage of struggle from the time of Sheikh Yusuf and Twanguru till today. Neither can people of conscience allow this to go on, nor can the masses afford to be continued victims of inept, useless leadership. And Allah warns us, even among the believers, But it's a lesson for all of us in relation to society. If you don't combine your efforts in the field of goodness and in righteousness, إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. There will be greater trials and miseries and major corruption, which is so evident in our society. So if we continue to elect incompetent, corrupt, self-serving politicians to positions of leadership, then we are not victims of the state, but we are accomplices to their crimes. If we don't ensure relevant, capable religious leaders, the fate of the faithful could be in jeopardy. So there's undoubtedly a dire need for genuine leadership. And this is the point I want to elaborate upon. Leadership in Islam is a trust, it's an amana, carrying great responsibility. And this for us, whether we hold positions of authority, because kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun ra'iyya, each one is somehow the other in charge of something. If you're a principal, you're in charge of your school. If you're a parent, you're in charge of your house. If you're a manager of the business, you're in charge of the business. If you're an elder brother, you're in charge of your younger brother or younger sister. So do understand that everybody has mas'uliyya in some way or the other. But I'm talking about leadership of institutions. I'm talking about leadership of political parties, of religious authorities and institutions. Leadership in Islam is a trust that carries tremendous responsibility. And among the primary roles, of course there are many roles we can delineate, but among the primary roles are those of being a servant leader and that of being a guardian leader. And I want to just elaborate on 5 points among many that could be there. One, as a person of faith in particular. And if we elect people who are not necessarily of our faith, then ensure that they have these qualities, which are universal values. Those people in leadership, or who qualify to be in leadership, or candidates for it, manifest the prophetic purpose of representing the best interest of the people. They must represent the best interest of the people. And it begins by the whole notion of the establishment of equity and justice. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah sent prophets throughout history in order that justice may be manifest between people, between all people. And therefore, it prioritizes the implementation of justice and the maintenance of that justice. Hence, no place for crime, no place for corruption. And therefore, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ma'idah, in dealing with society, whether in leadership position and authoritative position, وَإِنْ حَكَمْتُمْ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. And when you judge between people or deal between people, judge with justice. Allah loves those who implement and those who uphold justice. Secondly, do not hanker for leadership. It's very important to note this. It doesn't mean you can't stand for a position or you can't apply. But it's so evident, you can see there are people who want to be in the limelight. People want to be in the limelight. Of course you're in the limelight if you're a leader. But if that's your primary objective, then your interest is not the people, it's yourself. Keep that in mind, never mind how good a person you may be. If that's a primary objective, and that anybody who does not, who opposes you or challenges you, you undermine them, that's a very dangerous sign. الرغبة في القيادة. Do not have that. Do not have a desire for leadership. Because the community and the situation and the circumstance confers the position because of your capacity, because of your ability, because of your humanity, and therefore because of your personality. And therefore the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith documented in the Jami' of Imam al-Tirmidhi, he said, لا تسأل إمارة فإنك إن أتتك عن مسألة وكلت إليها وإن أتتك عن غير مسألة وعنت عليها. Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, do not hanker for a position of leadership, for if you receive it due to your hankering or desiring or asking for it, you will be left alone. You'll find it a very lonely place. You'll find it very lonely. And if you receive it without asking for it, then you'll find there'll be assistance and support for you in that. Because the position of leadership is conferred, it becomes the responsibility of the elected person or selected person to act in the best interest of the one he or she leads. That is why shura or consultation is such a primary factor in social relationships and in decision making, and specifically in circles of authority. Our wise ones have said, some people say the hadith is not the hadith. So wise ones have said, لا ندم من استشار. It's attributed to Rasulullah, but he didn't say it. Perhaps one of the companions of Tabi'in, Allahu A'lam. But wise ones have said, لا ندم من استشار. The one who consults will not regret consultation. Because consultation, and this is a very important point also, especially in religious circles, it doesn't mean you give everyone a chance to say what they want to say and you already made up your mind what you're going to do. That's not shura. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the Battle of Badr. This is Rasulullah who receives wahi from Allah, the greatest of creation. Allah says, usudun hasana, rahmatan lil alameen, arsalnaka kafatan lin nasi bashira wa nadira, sirajan munira. All that Allah says about him, he goes to the Battle of Badr, he tells the Sahaba, we stand here, let's we wait for the enemy. And one of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, is this your opinion or did Allah reveal this to you? He said, no, this is my opinion. He said, no, war is strategy. Rasulullah, we are outnumbered by the enemies. We are 300, they are 1,000. They are well equipped, armed, trained. We are a ragtag of 313 people. If they come here, they'll defeat us like that. Let's have an added advantage. Let's go beyond the well of Badr so they don't have water. So they have to beat us to get to the water. So if they don't have water, they may turn back. And the Rasulullah said, that's a good idea. Let's do that. He didn't say, I'm Rasulullah. I know better. I receive a revelation from Allah himself through Jibreel. He didn't do that. Publicly, in the presence of an army, he tells them what to do. They didn't disobey the Rasul, but they asked him. Look at how different the sunnah to now. You can't ask the sheikh knows best. The maulana knows best because he gives fatwa. Be very careful about this. So, shura is important, and wise ones have said, the one who makes shura. It doesn't mean that you give shura, I mean, wise ones have said, you'll never regret if you make shura or consultation. But it doesn't mean to give everybody a chance to say what they want to say, but you already do what you have in mind. But consider and value the input of each and make a decision based on collective wisdom of those who are involved. Because you may still do what you think is best, but you may modify your strategy based upon the idea of someone else. Another battle of Khandaq. The Arabs never had an idea of digging a trench, but the armies came, the massive armies of many tribes, outnumbered. So a Persian companion of Rasulullah said, Ya Rasulullah, Salman al-Farisi, we do this in Persia when the numbers are great, we put a trench so they can't come into our area. And they dug a trench, and the Prophet himself was involved in digging the trench. And there are many narrations about what the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. He didn't say it's a foreign thing, we Arabs don't do that. Where do you come with this bid'ah now here? It worked, the strategy, al-harb khida'ah, he did it. So I'm trying to explain to you, this Rasulullah himself, and it wasn't a private discussion, it was a public decision in the presence of people whom he was instructing and commanding. So, your energy, your consultation, your inclusivity makes you charismatic. It makes you transform the hearts of those around you and make them willing to go along with your decisions. It's your energy, not your power. You see, if you're in charge, you are the head or the boss. There's a big difference between being a boss and a leader. If I have a shop, if I have a lot of money, I open up a shop. I tell you, open at 8 o'clock tomorrow, you go home at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Sunday, you open at 5 o'clock, you close midnight. Otherwise, I fire you. That's a boss. I've got position. I've got power. Don't confuse being in charge with being a leader. There are many bosses, but they're not leaders. We have now people watching the World Cup. So the captain is the main guy. He decides who bowls, who doesn't bowl, who may be included in the team, but he doesn't win the game. So he knows the batsman. He checks the pitch. He sees the bowlers. He looks at circumstances. He makes sure the physio is there who's not on the field in case some important person gets hurt. All of that must be considered. That makes you a winning team. Otherwise, you have a team. Different between success and failure. So though you're the captain, you're not the one who scores all the runs, nor takes all the wickets, or field all the balls, or massage the person who got hurt. But you know who to coordinate and bring out the best in people. And if you can do it, that people do it lovingly and willingly, then you are a leader. So we don't have many leaders, we have many bosses. You see, Lao Tzu was an ancient philosopher, Chinese philosopher. He said, a leader is best when people barely know that he's around. And when his work is done, and the team or the group's aim is fulfilled, and the objective is achieved, people will say, we did it. We did it. And the leader will say, yes, we did. Not I did. Yes, we did. Third point, perform tasks with ikhlas, with sincerity and purity of intention. And al-hadafu min al-amal, have a clear objective, upholding your position of authority with sharaf and ihtiram, with nobility, honorability, and with respect. And remembering that the position you hold is an amana, is the trust. Inna Allaha ya'murukum an tu'addu. Numerous ayats about amana. That amana and justice, which is the first point I mentioned, are always in tandem. Inna Allaha ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha wa idha hakamtum bayna an-nasi an tahkumu bil-'adl. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links it up. And numerous ahadith, la imana liman la amanata lah. Trust is so important. You have no faith if you have no, you're not trustable, accountable. Numerous ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the signs of a believer, idha haddatha kadhaba wa idha wa'ada akhlab wa idha atumina khan, who betray their trust. It's a sign of a hypocrite, the Rasul said. The fourth point is provide ri'ayah, guardianship, and be aware of your mas'uliyah, your accountability. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول رعية حديث صحيح مسلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said all of you are in some way guardians and protectors of others and you'll be held responsible for whatever is under your care. Fifth point, the last one, you offer your khidmah with rahm and ta'atuf. You offer your service with compassion and empathy and ithar. Ithar is the notion of selflessness, wishing well for others, like what, similar to the concept in some way of what they have Ubuntu. What is, I see in my task the goodness for you in what I need to do. So a true leader wants to serve, and through service acquires authority, and that authority becomes manifest due to the person's involvement in the concern and in the welfare of the entire structure, the welfare of the people and the team or the situation that he or she leads. This is in keeping with the tradition that Ibn Asakir documents, and Allah knows best, where he said, the Rasul said, Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum. If not, at least wise ones have said, the leader of the people serves the people. Another way put, the servant of the people is the one who leads the people, or the leader of the people is a servant of the people. So leadership is not a title, whether religious or political. It's not a position, but it is a sacred trust and responsibility. Many are there who are in positions of leadership. How few are there who are, in the genuine sense, leaders of note? A true and an effective leader, and this is more specifically for our people in religious circles, is always lovingly concerned about those whom he or she leads. Always lovingly concerned. I'll give you one numerous ayat, examples in hadith, but one example I'll give. Ibrahim alayhi salam sees people worshipping idols. They threw him in the fire as a small kid. They did all these things. And then still people persisted even when he was a big man. He says, Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathira minan nas. Many of the people are still misguided by these kind of things, despite all his effort and his struggle. But what does he say? And look at this attitude of the Prophet. We are millat Ibrahim. Ibrahim is our Abina Ibrahim. Rasulullah said, our forefather is Ibrahim. Ibrahim makes a dua alayhi salam. In Surah Ibrahim, he says, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. People, so many people go astray, Ya Allah. But if they follow me, they're part of me. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي. And if they don't follow me, then what? فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Nonetheless, you are still most forgiving. He didn't say fi jahannam. He's a prophet of Allah. They're worshipping idols for God's sake. They're not stealing or doing something. They are worshipping idols. It's inexcusable. But look at his attitude and hope. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Wallah, these people are doing so many of them. كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. If they follow me, which is your guidance, then they're part of me. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي. If they disobey me, don't follow me, then what? Bid'atis, mushriks, jahannamis, kafir, no. فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Wallah, I know you are still the most forgiving and most merciful. That is the prophetic example. That is Sunnah Ibrahim. So, let us remember with a message for all aspirant and political aspirants to political or religious leadership, or those who are electing people to those positions, in the words of the greatest leader of all times, our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith document in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, خِيَارُ أَئِمَّتُكُمْ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ الَّذِينَ تُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَكُمْ خيار أئمتكم الذين تحبونهم ويحبونكم. In other words, the best of the leaders are those whom you love and who love you too. Love, care, compassion, accountability, seeing to the welfare of people, that's a leader. If not, you are merely holding a position, you're possibly a boss, which very rarely is liked. Remember, love and respect can never be forced. For those who are in positions of authority, always remember this. Love and respect are two things. It can never be forced. I'll keep quiet. I get my salary. I'll keep quiet. Or you'll fire me. I'll keep quiet. Or I'll lose my position in the group. I'll keep quiet. But love and respect can never be forced. It's only compliance because they are forced. Love and respect cannot be forced or imposed. It can only be earned. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
جزاكم الله خيرا to Sheikh Sa'adullah for that beautiful as usual lecture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Sa'adullah and grant Sheikh Sa'adullah long life full with khairat and barakat. Amen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allow me to make a few announcements inshallah. We make dua for our brother Nadir who usually sit here in front of the masjid, and his son, Dayan, was not too well. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them, and all those who are not too well, Allah grant them shifa and kamil, and amin, ya Rabbil Alameen. And we say Mubarak on the birthday of one of our regular musallin, Al-Hajj Farid Peterson, who's celebrating his birthday today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with a long life, full with khayrat and barakat. Amin, ya Rabbil Alameen. And as well as the brother of Hajj Farid, brother Hajj Sadiq, and Hajj Fatima, whose anniversary is today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a long life together with happiness, with the love and compassion. Amin, ya Rabbil Alameen. And then there's an invitation from Fajr al-Islam Center for the annual Jalsa that will take place tomorrow, inshallah. That is Saturday tomorrow, the 7th of October. It will take place at Weinberg Civic Center, starting from 3:30 tomorrow until Maghrib. And a guest speaker will be Mufti Muhammad Aku. He's a leading figure in comparative Islam and religion, as well as some of the students of Fajr al-Islam will do some presentations there as well. So everyone is welcome. Ladies and gents are welcome tomorrow. That is Weinberg Civic Center, 3:30 until Maghrib, inshallah, and supper will be served, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Can we just ask the brothers to stand in fadlik and fill all the gaps? There's a brother who lost the ID here in the masjid last week, Muhammad Javid, Sheikh. I've got the ID here with me, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Can we just ask the brothers to stand in fadlik and fill the gaps? So people are standing there on the tiles. There are still space upstairs, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله أستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الله أكبر الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبي يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فقال الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله استقيم يرحمكم الله استوى على الدين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا
عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين.
الله
سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر العظيم استغفر العظيم استغفر العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. نتوب إليك ونسألك التوبة والمغفرة والهداية لنا فإنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا راد لما قضيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم اشف مرضانا أنت شافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك شفاء لا يغادر سقما وارحم موتانا. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة فالله خير حافظا وهو أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك يعود السلام فحينا ربنا بالسلام وادخلنا الجنة برحمتك دارك دار السلام. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت وتعظمت وتكرمت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي نبي الرحمة نبي الهدى وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.